I'm sort of listening to this book. It's a lecture, a series of lecture on Renaissance, Reformation, and the rise of the modern nation states, right? Mm. And it's really a history of Europe from the 13th century onto the 17th century, right?
Mm.
And subhanAllah, you know what? If Muslims just read Western European history,
yeah, that's true.
If they just forget having, just go and read about European history, and you realize, right? You know, the idea, the West has taken the position because of their history from, you know, for the last 600-700 years, what they went through, right, and the values at the end which they've adopted, mm-hmm. right, and then they have the audacity to universalize them. They said, well, these values that we have, they're actually universal. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they're for everybody, whether you are European or not, right? So their experience of religion and their view of religion should be the view of religion by everybody else, right, because of their experience, right? So, because of their experience of the Catholic Church
mm.
and Catholicism, right? Because everything is a backdrop to that.
Mm.
So, you know, Luther and, you know, Zwingli and Calvin and these major reformers, all of this came about as a backdrop, yeah, to the rule of the church
mm.
and the control of the church over societies and so forth, right? And all of the reactions... all of the reactions is because of that, right? So, in the mix of all of that, and one of the output of all of this is that, you know, because you had the wars, right? You had, like, you know, the 30-year wars.
Mm.
I don't know if you... from 1618 to 1648,
yeah, right.
There was the 30 years war in Europe, right?
Mm.
Whole of Europe, i.e. the Roman Empire, which is mainly in Germany.
Mm.
You had 30 years of war. Spain was involved, England was involved, the Austrians were involved, the French, everybody was involved in this 30 years of war, right? Between Catholics and Protestants, right? Huge, huge war for 30 years. You know, millions and millions of people died, right? After 1648, right, there was a growing awareness, yeah, religion should be separated from politics,
mm.
right? All of that experience, right, now they just like say, right, religion is the cause of all wars, yeah? Religion should be just kept to the private life.
Mm-hmm.
Religion should have nothing to do with politics, yeah? They're just taking the entire historical baggage, right, and projection into the rest of the world.
To the other religions as well.
Whether it's, you know, Islam or any other religion, right? And that's what they've done. And they said, therefore, right, secularism, you know, freedom, democracy, these are universal values, just because of their own bitter experience with the Catholic Church.
I mean, that's quite a good point. I mean, just drawing a parallel, slightly digressing. I mean, their kings
mm.
historically
mm.
Would go to the bishops, the archbishops, and get fatwas, yeah?
Mm.
If those fatwas, for example, if they wanted to marry additional wives, King Henry the Fifth or whatever, right? If they didn't get the fatwas, guess what they used to do? Chop the heads off the those archbishops or bishops. Whoever they didn't give the fatwa in their favour. And now, I think slowly, what's happening with our Islamic sort of leaders as well, we get to the point where if the leaders are not getting the right thing from the scholars, they're locked up.
Yeah,
right?
You've got that, but what's more pernicious rather than the politics is like understanding of religion,
mm.
right? Muslims have been seriously affected by understanding of Islam because of how the West understand Islam, right? So for, you know, like, just interesting history, right? Luther, Martin Luther, who is like, you know, the one who founded...
German Protestantism,
what have you, the reformer, right? He's an interesting guy, right? But look at his concept of religion, right? So, the Catholic Church, right, it had values, it had beliefs, and it had institutions, right? It had institutions. It had the church, it had the various clerical structures, it had land, it can raise taxes, right? It was an alliance with the king, right? So the Catholic Church, it was an organized religion, right? And part of the organized religion, right, is that they have what they call all the sacraments, or all the ceremonies that they do, like the mass and baptism and all of this stuff, right? So there's a belief amongst the Catholics that to be saved, to go to Jannah, to be for salvation, you must have belief and also do good works. Iman and a'mal.
And baptized as well.
Yeah? So they had this concept that for you to go to Jannah, right, you have to believe in the Christ, you have to believe in the Bible, you have to believe in all of these, you know, articles of faith of Christianity. At the same time, you have to do
good deeds,
right? You can't go to Jannah on just some belief alone, and you can't go to Jannah just by doing good deeds. You must do
both.
That was like a standard belief, right? So Martin Luther, right, as a person, I don't know if you know the story behind him, right? The story is that, you know, his father was a peasant, right? But he was quite well off. So his father wanted him to be a lawyer. So in those days, the professions are three, right? Either you become a lawyer, or you become a doctor, or you become a priest. That's it. That's your options of profession. So his father said, you go and be a lawyer, right? So he studied law, and, you know, he wasn't too keen on it and what have you. But he was a bright student. And one day, he was going home, walking home, and there was, you know, really bad weather, and there was lightning, right? So when this lightning was happening, he called out to Saint Anne, one of their saints, saying, if you save me, I will become a priest. So as soon as he said that, the weather changed and everything, And it's like, now, obviously, he'd made a vow. He made a promise, right? That he's going to become a priest. Well, he went home and his dad just gave him whatnot. You know, set you to become a lawyer. You want to become a mullah, right? Kind of thing, yeah? Anyway, so this guy, he then goes to his local monastery. And he says, look, I want to be a priest. So they take him in, right? And he's like, you know, he's there and he's like an apprentice, novice, right, monk and what have you. And he's extremely dedicated, right? He just outdoes everybody. So if everyone's fasting like a couple of days, you'll fast a couple of months, right? Everyone's doing, you know, penance, right, or confessions. You know, so when he used to go and confess, right, the guy used to get sick of him saying, hold on a minute, you're just extreme. He used to come, he was confessing all his sins, and he was trying to say, even the hidden ones, I don't know where they are. You know, what do I do about the hidden sins? Mm. The things that I've forgotten, right? Mm. So he was really extreme, right? So he had this inner tension, right? That really, we are so sinful, right? And whatever we do is not going to be enough, right? And therefore, I can't achieve salvation. So he had a really pessimistic view, right, of this. Anyway, later on they realised this guy, you know, he's quite intelligent, what have you. They sent him to universities to become a, you know, professor, lecturer, and, you know, a theologian, right? And he goes there, he starts studying, right? St. Augustine, the monastery that he belongs to, is the order of St. Augustine, is one of the church fathers. He has a particular view about religion. His view is that to be saved, right, is not by your action, is by God's grace. In other words, it's only by the mercy of Allah you are saved, you go to Jannah, right? Not by your actions. Your actions are... So there has this belief now arise, which is what? Salvation by faith alone, right? Which is what contrary to the belief of the Catholics, which is salvation by belief and good works.
But at that point, they were only Catholics.
Yeah, but this is the concept you can see. Okay. So that his belief is now that really, for me to be saved, is by good grace of God, and actions are not a precondition to go to Jannah, right? So for him, it's faith. And faith is something God gives, right? Faith is something that God gives by grace, right? Now, this obviously has a big impact in Christian Europe. Because one, what you're effectively saying, yeah, organized religion, forget, because organized religion is based on what? You need to do actions.
Mm.
You need to have a clergy, you need to have churches, you need to keep, right? Because when you take out actions, you remove any structure,
mm.
right? So this viewpoint that, you know, religion is something personal, religion is something between you and God, religion is something God gives you, religion, yes, there's not much emphasis on collective actions, not much emphasis on organization, structure, and all this. This is, it sows the seed.
Well, a lot of it was down to the fact that the church had become so powerful up to that point that the rulers could not get, literally, they were saying, who's ruling the country, the church or us?
No, but
so they had to make a point.
But there's a politics. But I'm saying the ideology.
The ideology
is in the.
That's
in
public. So he's saying about.
No, I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ideology.
Yeah,
now, one of the main sort of followers, Saint Paul, right, which is one of the disciples of Jesus, right, which is one of the main figures that influence him, and it's called there's called the epistle. Of St. Paul's to the Romans, right? These are letters. So effectively, the story goes like this, and which further adds to this idea of salvation by faith only, right? Which is what? That when St. Paul's went to Rome, yeah? So a lot of the people, they became Christians. And after he left Rome, and he built a church and everything, he left Rome and he went to another place, his followers there, they converted lots of Jews into Christians, right? And the Jews at that time, right, they were obsessed, yeah, with law, Mosaic law from the Old Testament. They were really legalistic about everything, doing this, doing that. They're really, really about the law. And there's a question that came about, is that, you know, people ask, look, you know, we're going to become Christians, yeah, from Jews. What's the difference, yeah, between Christianity and Judaism? So St. Paul, he wrote a letter back to these Christians saying, look, the difference is, yeah, is that, you know, we are saved by the grace of God, right? Implying the laws are not important. Not necessary. So again, the idea of just have faith, right, without doing action, right, this idea alone, right, it morphed over the next, you know, like, you know, 60-70 years, right, and it really shook up Western Europe, because effectively this idea laid the premise, yeah, of religion to be privatized. Yeah, religion to be for the individual. Religion, it's having role in public life. Yeah, need to be seen, you know, with caution. Right.
Is that faith actions?
So the only thing is iman, for them. Yeah, a'mal is not necessary. So effectively, what you do, you separate Sharia from aqidah. I'm just putting it in our terms. So the Luther's view was what? It's only by the rahmah of God you go to Jannah. You don't need to do a'mal. So it's just, there's no a'mal. It's not like, you know, believe, yeah, and do righteous deeds. Like in the Quran, you always find, you know, they believe, yeah, and they do a'mal as-salihah, right? You find always these two things together. So in his view, you're going to rely on God's grace, right? So that's one. Secondly, you don't need to worry about action. And thirdly, it's just about you, between you and God, right? This is a kufr idea, right? Has affected Muslims, and not only Muslims, the world at large about religion. Religion is a private affair, yeah? And it should not have any public expression, right? This is the root of it, ideological root of it, right? Which effectively created the religious struggles in Europe between the Catholics and the Protestants.